Welcome to another episode of Upstage Conversation. I'm your host, Carrie, and this time I am joined by my good friend, Jay.
Hello.
And this episode, we are discussing one of my all-time favorite musicals, which is How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. So we are looking at the 1967 film based on the 1961 musical. So, Jay, if you could just briefly walk us through the plot.
Okay, so the plot is it's about a young man who was a window washer. He goes by the name, his like nickname is Ponty, basically.
J. Pierpont Finch. Yes, yeah. They call him Ponty.
Yes, Finch, F-I-N-C-H, which he reiterates a number of times, which I found funny. And he is walking down the street and he's walking by like a newsstand or what have you. And he sees this book called How to Succeed in Business. And he's like, hey, I'd like to, you know, not wash windows for the rest of my life. I'm going to get this book. And so he does. And the book gives like almost step by step directions on how to climb the corporate ladder. And so he's all about that. And he follows the book's advice to a T. And climbs a corporate ladder, you know, hilarity ensues.
Yep. That's about it. So the original musical is based on a book called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, The Dastard's Guide to Fame and Fortune, which is a early 1950s satirical humor book and whatnot. So they decided to turn it into a musical. So yeah, basically, Finch is able to, very quickly climb his way out of the mailroom and eventually becomes chairman of the board. Rubbing a lot of folks the wrong way along the way, but also, meeting a secretary named Rosemary, falling in love, and basically dooming the nephew of the president of the company, Bud Frump, to who's sort of like his rival along the way.
Right.
Frump immediately realizes what the fuck Finch is up to and is like, no. But yeah, it's I really like How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. But I also have like a very intimate relationship with this musical because this was the first musical that I was ever in a pit orchestra for.
Oh,
my high school did this. So I play bass guitar in the pit orchestra for this. So like I know all of the music very, very well accordingly. Right. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the plot is anything like wild or groundbreaking.
Right.
But I think the music is good, and we'll get into the music in a minute, but I do want to discuss the cast here a little bit, because three sort of key characters of Finch, Rosemary, his secretary / love interest, and J.B. Bigley, the president of the Worldwide Wicket Company. No one knows what the Worldwide Wicket Company
does. They sell. It might as well have been like Worldwide Widget Company, right? Like they don't.
Yeah,
they sell
that's the point. Whatever, is like the book instructs the reader to find a company that's so big, no one's really ever quite sure what they're
what
actually
they do,
doing
right.
at any given time. Right. So yes, Robert Morris as Finch, Michelle Lee as Rosemary, and Rudy Valley as J.B. Bigley were all reprising their Broadway roles.
Interesting. So can I get my thoughts on this? My general thoughts on this movie?
Mm-hmm.
I actually loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was fucking with you the whole time before the show. No, I actually really enjoyed this. I thought it was cute. I thought it was funny. I thought Finch was like a wackadoo goofball who always looked disheveled no matter like what role he was in. He always looked like he had like fallen out of a tomato truck on his way to work. No, I actually really enjoyed it. The funny thing is, like, as a person who is not a huge musical fan, and as I do these episodes, I find like more things that I do like. Though we haven't done the musical, I hate with all with the passion
eventually.
Of a thousand suns. But like this is actually pretty good. But like ironically, I wasn't impressed by the musical numbers. Like I was actually much more impressed by just like the sort of funness of the story. Like I would actually totally watch this as a comedy in and of itself without any of the musical numbers. Not that I hated them. I just didn't like, they didn't like super stand out to me as like, whoa, these are amazing or whatever. And it could be because it's like the 1960s style, right? I recognize that. Like I don't find Morse to be a particularly great singer, to be honest. But yeah, I did like a couple of songs.
He won the Tony Award that year.
Like, but he's good otherwise. Yeah. Like, he really is. I just, like, when I think singing, I'm like, again, it's 1960 style. So, you know, you also have to appreciate that. But I actually really like the movie. I thought it was good. I was always kind of watching as he's kind of going up the corporate ladder, like, what is the advice that the book is going to give him in this situation? Because the book was like a soothsayer, right? It's like, if, you know, if you happen to run into someone like a hot blonde who doesn't seem good at her job, she's probably there because she's sleeping with someone at the top. And you're like, yeah, okay, wow. Like, is the book just narrating the story, like, basically?
Yes.
But it was funny, right? It was actually, it was cute. I liked his rival.
You should be in a good position right now, unless you've chosen to become the head of advertising, in which case you're fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked. Like, what are you doing? Don't do that. But you have one option. Come up with a great idea. Right. So I thought the sort of magical book element was kind of hilarious. But I liked it. Like, I thought Morse as the lead was great. Like, I thought he was really quite funny. Not to be too crass, but Hedy LaRue, the hot secretary later on. One, that woman, that character is dumb as a doorknob, which is hilarious.
She's like, so funny.
Like, her pronunciation of words is hilarious. Two, she's still hot by today's standards.
Like, Maureen Arthur.
Yeah, I was like,
Maureen Arthur could get it in the 60s.
And now, like, you take her and put her in a movie, you'd be like, yeah, all right, she is the superstar.
That's the thing about, like, not just this movie, but like the story in general. Like, I saw a production of How to Succeed at the Kennedy Center a few years ago. We took my mom for her birthday because How to Succeed was the very first show that my mom ever saw on Broadway back when she was a kid.
Oh, nice.
So we took her for her birthday. And it was fabulous, but like, there's something really timeless about this story. Like, it's not rooted in any particular era. Like, there's always dumb corporate bullshit going on.
Nothing has changed.
So you can still sort of like have the exact same story and have it still feel very timely and contemporarily funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just thought, and I liked how bright it was. You know, it's like the extreme sort of 60s colors, like every wall is a different color.
Everything's very mod. I love all of the dresses that the secretaries wear.
Yeah. Like,
they're all really cute.
I dug the whole vibe of the story. Like, I really did. I liked this, you know, this kind of lovable goofball, you know, figuring out how to game the system. Like, that was cool. Like, I enjoyed that. And I also enjoyed how it ended versus how I thought it probably would end, which was him, like, I mean, technically it ends the way I did, but like, not really, you know, but I thought it was going to kind of go on a, like, a moral conundrum. And then he's like, I'm going to do the right thing. And then it's just like, now you're scrubbing windows for the rest of your life. But you were morally right. Like, nah, that's not how it ends. Like, not really. Like,
no, they kind of play it up. He makes a big plea about the brotherhood of man, and everything works out in his favor, and he gets like the fanciest fucking office ever created.
Yeah, that office is insane. Like, the offices of the big bosses in this movie are nuts. Like,
they're hilarious, like, in how ostentatious they are.
Right. Like,
I mean, really, the set design for the movie, like, it's again good. It's very of the time, very late 60s. But I love it. I love everything about this film.
Yeah, I totally dug it. I was just fucking with you before we started. You're did you like it? I was like, did I? Well, we'll see. No, but I actually really dug it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like Robert Morse in this role. I feel like people who aren't familiar with his early work, because he did so much in the 50s and 60s, probably know him from Mad Men,
Oh, really?
He was Bertram Cooper on Mad Men. He's still acting today. So he does a lot of voice.
Oh, acting. Shit, that's him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guy who looked like the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
Wow, okay, yeah, I do remember that. I do remember him. That's funny.
Yeah, so, yeah, I, it's outside of Morris Lee and Valley, there's, you've got a couple other names, but not really. I appreciate the fact that they kept the double role of Twimble and Wally Womper. So Twimble's originally the head of the mailroom, and you see him at the beginning of the story, and Wally Womper is the outgoing chairman of the board, who you see at the very end of the story.
Is that the same actor? It's
the same actor.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they do that. That's a double role in every stage production, and is also... they kept that for the film, which I thought was cute.
Huh. Yeah, that mustache really changes his face a lot, actually.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, how to succeed as a musical has been revived twice. It was revived first in the mid-90s with Matthew Broderick as Finch.
I could see
and
that.
Then after the Broadway run of How to Succeed finished, in the 90s, it did a national tour. And do you know
who I know
in the national tour? It's fucking Ralph Macchio.
Which is fucking weird.
It's very strange to think about. I've seen footage of him in the role, and like it's not terrible. He doesn't have the strongest singing voice. And then in 2011, they did a 50th anniversary revival with Daniel Radcliffe as Finch, and he was fabulous.
I could see that. I mean, yeah. I mean, I could tell he's got more of the boyish charm that Morse does. So yeah. I could see that. I mean, I guess Ralph Macchio does too, because he didn't age
in the
at
90s.
All.
He certainly did.
Yeah,
yes.
He didn't age at all.
So yeah, I know you said you weren't blown away by any of the music, but if you had to pick a best musical number.
It's Old Ivy, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, like one, I love that scene because it's ridiculous. Like,
it's so funny.
Like, dude brought a bag of like used cigarettes to throw around to pretend like he had been there all night and like was smoking and drinking coffees. Yeah, that dude was an amazing liar. But I liked it because then they play up the whole idea of like. The boss is a knitter. So he's like, he's found all these like little things about the guy to mirror. So that guy connects with him. Like I thought the scene was great, but yeah, I like the Old Ivy song. I thought that was fun.
Okay. Old Ivy is not my favorite. I think my favorite in the movie, because my favorite in the movie is not my favorite in like the stage production.
Right.
Cause they cut my favorite song from the film. But I really like I Believe in You.
That Rosemary sings to him.
No. At the end, where Finch is in the executive washroom and he's preparing to make his presentation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he's like looking at himself and sort of bigging himself up. And then the other executives are like, gotta stop this guy.
Yeah, yeah, gotta stop this man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his part was good. Yeah, I
and
like
the
that.
The reason why I Believe in You is my favorite is because of the kazoo part.
Okay.
I got to tell you, like being in a pit orchestra setting and playing that. And so it's like I have a guitar, but then I also have to have a kazoo in my mouth because the entire orchestra plays the on kazoos. To make it sound, because everyone starts using electric razors at the same time.
Right.
So it's to give the impression of the razors are producing this melody.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
It's very funny. And yeah, I like that. I also like the opener a lot. I love How to Succeed, the song.
That one is good. In fairness. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, and Brotherhood of Man is also lovely.
Yeah, that's probably my second favorite.
That's your sort of big, that's your 11 o'clock number. It's the end of the show, and we have to do this huge thing at the end to resolve the story and also like get this last burst of energy. I don't love Been a Long Day.
No.
I've never liked Been a Long Day.
No. It didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. So
yeah, I find it annoying more than anything.
That's fair.
But
I don't like the repetitive chorus. I'm not a fan of it.
No. Now it's worth noting that they did cut several songs from the musical. Basically to save time for the film. They cut Happy to Keep His Dinner Warm. They cut Coffee Break, and Coffee Break is kind of my favorite song from the stage show. They cut Paris Original. They cut Cinderella Darling. They cut Love from a Heart of Gold. And I think that's it. But the problem is that because they cut all of these songs, and most of those songs were like Rosemary solos, basically, they then had to add in that Rosemary version of I Believe in You.
Okay. To kind of give her more to do.
To give her more to sing, basically. Yeah. Now, there are some references to, like, there's a small reference to Coffee Break, where Coffee Break would have been in
the secretary's moment.
In the context where it would have fallen in the story. And then you hear an instrumental version of Paris Original as sort of the intro to the Worldwide Wicket Treasure Hunt program.
Oh, okay.
I really like Paris Original as a song. But we don't get it. Overall, my personal taste, I wish they wouldn't have cut all of those songs. I understand why they did, and I don't think it ultimately affects the story that much.
I mean, they're definitely cutting for time, right? Because we're already at 2 hours, which I get it. But yeah, I mean, sometimes certain songs,
it would have been pushing probably close to 3 hours if you kept all of that other content in there.
All right. And that's a lot.
Yeah. But does having seen the film, is this something that you would want to watch on stage at any point?
Yeah, no, I think I would. And the funny thing is, I think it would be kind of dope to see it done, just with a modern twist, right? Like, not in the necessary 1960s. You could still do the same music, you know, you update the music a little bit or whatever. But I would love to see it in a modern setting. I think that would be kind of fun.
I mean, that's basically what I sort of saw. Again, it's not like when I saw it in 2018 at the Kennedy Center, it wasn't, they weren't making a big deal of it being set in the 60s. You know, all of the music was the same. The story was the same. I don't know. It was interesting. Again, it's very timeless. The cast that I saw was Skylar Astin as J. Pierpont, Michael Urie as Yuri. I don't know how to say his last name, as Frump.
Frump. I actually like that character a lot. Like, he was such
but Frump's really funny.
Yeah, like, he was such a fucking, like, a loser nephew of the, you know, the CEO. Like, that was like a classic, you know, sort of a classic addition.
And I saw it was John Michael Higgins was J.B. Bigley.
John Michael Higgins. Where do I know that name?
Best in Show.
Oh, yeah, John Michael Higgins. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Yes, he is great in Best in Show.
He was great. I mean, again, this is probably probably my all-time favorite. Like,
wow, really?
I love How to Succeed in Business.
I think it's pretty good. Like, if people haven't seen it, I would definitely recommend it. I rented it on Amazon. So yeah, it's out there. Like, it was really good.
I think it's free if you have Prime.
They don't have, for some reason, that copy. Because I have Prime. I was like, cool. And then I clicked on it. They were like, no, but you can rent it for $3.99. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
That's very strange.
Yeah. Okay. F you, Jeff Bezos. But whatever. He got my $3. It's fine.
Right. I mean, it's really good. I mean, it's super fun. I think the movie does a really good job. I would love to see a new movie adaptation.
Yeah. I would be 100% on board. If they said, hey, we're doing a new one. Yeah, I would watch it. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, I am definitely partial to the idea of perhaps sprinkling in some people of color. I think maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that
is pretty fucking white.
For you to bring that up. There is not a single.
No, there's a black woman in the background.
Is there really?
Yes. Because, like, my spidey sense, like, I was like, one. Black. I was like, there she is. I saw her, right? Like, she don't have a speaking part. Like, of course not. Get out of here. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like any of these characters could be any race. Like, it doesn't matter. But it would be, like, it would be kind of interesting. Like, I mean, you could even gender swap some of the roles, right? Like, like there's no reason that Finch couldn't be a woman. Like, actually, it might make for a pretty funny story as it goes, right? Like, as she's climbing the corporate ladder. I mean, there's so much. You could change the story around, like, a little bit. There's so much of, like, the one executive who gets in trouble because he kisses the hot secretary and then gets shipped off to Venezuela. Like, they're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, so you could play around with that, right? You could set it in the 60s if you wanted to. And then, you know, kind of make it an oddball, screwball comedy if you wanted. In a way, it kind of is. So, yeah, like, I feel like you could go a bunch of directions with this. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Frankly, here, I have an exact idea.
Okay.
Because he was so fucking good. I would cast Paul Bettany as this character, as Finch. Because he was so good playing like a 1960s character in WandaVision. I think he would fucking crush it, actually. I think he would be super good.
Can he sing?
Who cares? Who cares? That's I feel like he
just
could.
Just dub him over.
Yeah, just dub him over. Like, whatever. But I feel like he probably can. I mean, he seems like a classically trained guy, which is like weird. Like, you're forced to sing. Like, but I can. You will learn.
You will learn.
Yeah. So I like, look, that's my bid. Paul Bettany. For Ponty, old Ponty Finch.
Yeah. You know what? I support the idea. I also wouldn't mind if they like just got Daniel Radcliffe to do the film version since he was so good in the.
Yeah, he still has that face, right? He still has got that young kind of lovable guy face. So you could just be like, oh, I want him to succeed.
To be fair, he's only 31.
Yeah, too. He's super young. So yeah, he hasn't lived a weathered life like some of us, me. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I am glad that you enjoyed it.
I did. I really did.
I feel like we had a run of some less than stellar musicals on this show over the last few months because we definitely did like Cats and Phantom of the Opera back to back.
But see, I liked what was it? What was the Tim Burton one that we did? The Barber of
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, thank you. Demon Barber of whatever street.
Fleet Street, yeah.
Yeah. Like I enjoyed that. And I hate Tim Burton. Like, I do, but it worked for that particular role. His creepy dark weirdness.
Yeah. Tim Burton does one thing, but sometimes he does that one thing really well.
He is a one trick pony.
Yeah, that's true.
Him and his wife.
So, yeah, if you have not watched How to Succeed in Business without really trying, and you're interested in musicals at all, check it out because it's super fun. And it's just 2 hours of a delightful, lighthearted comedy. And after the last year, I feel like we could all use a 2-hour break.
Absolutely. I'm going to take the advice of this movie and apply it to my job and see how it works out for me. So give me
Godspeed.
I mean, he became chairman in what, 2 weeks? It feels like it was pretty fast.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been in this role for 2 minutes.
Maybe over the course, because like we get a couple like weekend scenes in there. So I feel like it's maybe 3 or 4 weeks, like tops.
Yeah. Like he was moving, man. From window washer to chairman of the board in less than a month.
Yeah. Fair. So, well, thank you for joining us for this episode, Jay.
Absolutely.
I know musicals aren't your thing, but maybe.
Maybe they are.
They
like,
are.
maybe by the end of all of this, like I'm going to have to throw away my I'm not a fan of musicals card because I'm a giant hypocrite. I'm okay with that. Like, again, I'm open to just about anything except for that one musical I hate. But I want to do it because I want to trash it.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I really want to have Brad on next month because I really want to do Damn Yankees because it's baseball season now and I feel like that's timely.
Oh, I just assumed it was this super group, Damn Yankees. Can You Take Me Higher? Wasn't that their fucking hit song?
Good I don't Lord. Know.
God, they sucked.
Damn Yankees was originally a musical in the 50s.
Oh, so. That's perfect for Brad. That's his wheelhouse. He loves that time. Brad's a racist.
Wow. He's not going to listen to this though. So.
No, I know. That's my whole thing is just sprinkling that the fake narrative that Brad's a racist across the network. Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought this was a lot of fun. Actually, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. And thank you at home for listening. If you are listening to this, that means you are a premium member of the TNP Studios network of podcasts. So don't forget to listen to all of the other premium content, which I assume still includes Look Forward, The Airing of Grievances, No Time to Bleed, The Man with the Golden Tongues. I don't know if those are still in production because yes. I don't go on those shows very often.
Yeah,
so it's not up to me if they get done or not.
Yeah, well, Look Forward's getting done right after we get off this
one. Yeah.
So, yes, and No Time to Bleed is hopefully this weekend. So, yeah,
awesome.
All those things are back.
And then you've got your regular free content. So The Nerdpocalypse, Black on Black Cinema, Dense Pixels, and Coming Distractions.
There you go.
Listen to all of it, and thank you for listening. Thank you, Jay, for joining me, and... we'll be back soon with another episode of Upstage Conversation.
All right. Later, guys.
Thanks.